Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
special guest co-host, male crystal ball, Brad Kilmer. How you doing?
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good. And for all the listeners out there, Miss Jody Parks, I'm jealous. She is in Florida having a great time, so I hope she has fun.
Yeah, she's off on a big boat showing her tits. I know what she's doing. She's going to send me pictures later.
Oh,
pictures for my eyes only.
For your eyes only.
Yeah, that's right. So all you Jody Park stalkers out there, I'm the only one that can see it. Her boobies, unless you, of course, watch her Howard Stern episode.
Well, of course, you know you got some dumbasses out there that make fake accounts and post her Howard Stern video, her showing her tits, which. I'm sorry, people. Jody doesn't care. She loves showing her boobs.
She does. She loves shit.
You're not doing any damage to Jody. I'm sorry. You're a dumbass.
You know, if I can I tell a story real quick, or you want to go ahead and
go for it? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I do have to tell a story. Jody and I went to Ohio. Thank you, Jim Decker, to the Erie Expo, and I met Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and she actually came by my work and got me. And it was so funny because, you know, I had shown everyone her, you know, Queen of Burps video, and I'm like, yeah, she's coming in, and you know, everybody was like, oh man, cool. So you know, around 2 o'clock when you know, most everybody was gone. I was like, you know, come on, Jody, rip one. So, you know, everybody was waiting to hear it. And so she went in the bar, and the restaurant where I work is, you know, there's no carpet anywhere. So she walked into the bar, and she just, like, let the biggest rip, like, burp. It was amazing. It echoed through the whole restaurant. And then as soon as she did it, I heard a customer yell, that's enough. And then she did it again, and then one of the waiters came around, and, you know, he was like, hey, who's doing that? And Jody just kind of peeked around. She's like, I don't know, that's pretty gross, isn't it? And everybody was just kind of chuckling and laughing. So, you know, that's my one Jody story I wanted to start off with. So the Queen of Burps came, and she conquered, and she pissed people off, and it was amazing.
Sweet. And just so everybody knows out there, December 22nd, it's a Sunday. Normally I do the URN radio show on Sunday nights, but that Sunday we're going to do a special broadcast. It'll be the URN Radio Network Christmas Extravaganza. We're going to have all the hosts from all the shows on air at the same time. So it should be pretty damn crazy. We'll probably be cutting up and laughing our asses off all night. And hopefully we'll have some special guests call in. Even Brad, you're welcome to call in. We're just going to
technically, since I'm you know, pushed Jody down the stairs and took her spot tonight, so technically I guess that would make me a host. So.
Yeah. You're more than welcome to join. It's just going to be a melee marathon of just cutting up and being funny all night.
Well, I don't ever cut up, so it's going to be really difficult for me.
Oh, you're full of it.
That I am.
I don't want to know what you're full of, but you're full of something.
I'm full of love, blue, and glitter, just so you know. And I hope everyone that I messaged on Facebook tonight is tuning in. I messaged all my friends and told them about the show, and I hope they tune in. Or if they don't tune in, I hope they listen later. So big kisses and hugs to everyone who was sweet and chose to tune in and listen. So, mwah.
Yeah. Sometimes they're late showers. They show up late. Sometimes they get in chat. Sometimes they don't. And then a lot of people, they listen on archives. That's where a lot of our listens come from.
Everybody,
coming up on the end of the year, and our network is now at 93,000 listens.
Nice. And this is for Jody.
That's weak.
I know, that was totally, totally weak. By the way, how do I sound? Do I sound all right? Do I sound crystal clear and crisp?
Yes, you do.
Good, because I'm using my studio mic for this. So, but no, that's awesome. How many did you say? 93,000?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So that's a good thing for everybody out there. And let's see, what else is there? Thanks to all the new likes we got on our Terrify fan page on Facebook. We're now over 300 likes and steadily climbing. So thanks to all the people that are supporting our show, and we really appreciate it.
Yay, we love you guys.
And if you haven't liked our page, go to Terrify Radio on Facebook and like us. And I always post links to the show and who we're having and whatnot. So that's pretty much it. Brad, do you have a good Thanksgiving? I hadn't talked to you.
I did have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I got to spend it with my family. It was actually the first Thanksgiving I had been able to spend with them in 3 years. So it was really special, and, you know, it was just really good to bond with my family, and, you know, it's really been great, you know, seeing people I haven't seen in a long time, and everybody's been really supportive and positive, and, you know, so I had a really lovely holiday, and it's been great. I can't wait to spend Christmas with them.
Oh, yeah, man. Definitely. At least this year we don't have the everybody panicking, thinking it's the end of the world. We had that last December, and we're still here. So there you go.
Well, don't they think that every year?
Yeah.
They're like, it's the end of the world as we know it. Yes, I have my guitar in my lap, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ready for anything.
Awesome. Before, I don't know when I see somebody on hold. I'm going to have to screen them here in a minute. But let me go ahead and talk about our guest for tonight and get that out of the way here.
Lovely.
Let's see. Yeah. Tonight's guest is Bill Householder. He is the owner and founder of Household Paranormal. He's had a few experiences in his life, starting as a small child. He's heard footsteps in his attic, and as a teenager, he even saw a UFO. Within the last 5 years, he has experienced covers being pulled off of him. When he was touched during an EVP, he was hooked. So then he joined a local paranormal team and experienced lots of paranormal activity. After a short time, Bill decided to start his own team. Since forming his team, he has experienced shadow figures, disembodied voices, light anomalies, and energy drain. J.R. Rupp joined the team in 2012 and has had many experiences of his own, including seeing apparitions. And if I don't get these names right, hopefully he'll correct me. Craig Eiler joined the team about 7 months ago as a skeptic, but has changed because of being touched and disembodied voices and emotional transferences. The team has been on several internet radio shows, filmed by Wabash Web TV, Pima Web TV, and has even been in the local newspaper. Allison Good is the team's video and still pick editor and is the owner and founder of their sister group in Loth, Lincolnshire, England, called Lincolnshire Findings. So that is our guest. Let me see who I have here on hold. Give me just a sec.
Hopefully it's one of my stalkers. Let's see. I feel like I should be doing some background music while we're waiting. But I don't know. Everybody that really knows me knows that I'm not much of a guitar player. I'm more of a singer and freak.
All right. I am back. And we do have our guest on hold, so I'm going to bring him. And he's got JR with him, so we're going to bring him on now.
How you doing,
guys?
How's it going?
Hey, pretty good. Hello, Household Paranormal. How are you this evening?
Oh, we're just kicking back, chilling with you guys for the evening.
You got a pretty cool page. I'm looking at it right now. I like your cover photo. It looks like three mug shots. You all look like some heathens. Look like a lot of fun, actually. look like you might bust people's windows out more than you would investigate. But you know. But then again,
no,
I know.
No,
I
ain't nothing like that going on. That's for damn sure.
But if you ever seen a picture of me, I'm not quite what I, you know, appear, so.
God.
Where are y'all out of? What part of the United States y'all in?
We're based in Wabash, Indiana.
Nice.
Now, how far is Wabash, Indiana from Indianapolis?
About 80 miles. Yeah, about 75, 80 miles.
And is that north or south?
That would be north.
Oh, wow. Wow. I've made it to Indy quite a few times.
So, yeah, it's a big place. I try to stay out of them big cities. They make me nervous. I'm more scared of them than them ghosts.
Some are worse than others, my friend.
Definitely. Definitely. So what else you want to know about us?
Well, we'll start with you, Bill. How did you get into the paranormal? I read a little bit of your bio, but talk about that a little bit, how you got involved in this field.
Oh, that's actually, I get a chuckle out of everybody when I tell them this. When we bought the house in 2008, I experienced a couple of times where the comforters would get tugged off my feet. And I didn't have any dogs at the time. I was the only one home. I was laying down taking a nap when that happened, both times. And it was shortly after that that we got our dogs. And nothing happened for quite a while. And then one night, Bella come walking back and forth across the living room. And she started staring up at the wall above my head and had her teeth bared. All her hair was standing up. She was just loaded for bear. And it only took me a couple seconds to realize what was going on because there was nothing there. So, and I got a buddy of mine over that does this as a hobby. And we did a little investigation, and we caught an EVP of a male voice in my kitchen. I can't remember what it said now, but that was all it took, and I've been doing it ever since then.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm going on my fourth year now as an investigator.
So do you guys use a ghost box?
Yeah, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Sometimes I think a little too much, but I'm more of an EVP guy. I want to get something that I can clean up and understand what's being said and not have to worry about any outside interference coming over the device.
Absolutely.
And but, yeah, we do use them, and we've gotten some pretty good responses through it. I also use a Faraday bag with that, too, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Now, explain to those who don't know what that is, explain to them what that is, because I personally don't know what the hell that is, so explain it to me.
Okay, what a Faraday bag is, it's a small wire mesh bag that it actually don't even feel like it's got wire in it. It's so flexible. But you turn the ghost box on. You set it down at the bottom of that bag, and if you're using an external speaker, you make sure all the wire's in that bag. You close it up, and it's supposed to knock out any radio interference that might come through.
You put it to the test, too. Nice. So it's not like one of those wire vaginal meshes, you know, that you're always seeing on TV, you know, that they're always having the recalls. It's something totally different.
Oh, no. No, this is – It's actually a pretty nice little pouch. Like I said, you can't even tell there's any wire in it. It's so flexible.
Nice.
But, yeah, since I've got it, our responses are, I can't say the responses are clear, but I am able to sort out easier what a response is and what might not be.
Right.
Cool. And
That has almost totally eliminated all the radio interference we've had.
Now, what kind of ghost box are you using? I know myself, I use a SB7 spirit box.
That's what we use, brother. Right on.
Yeah, I have one that I got from Chris Fleming, and he had put a filter on the AM band and kind of detuned out the AM, so basically when you scan, you just hear a bunch of clicking, and if you get a response, it's pretty crystal clear. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, that's what ours does, too. We can do it on AM or FM, and you can get it to sweep in forward and reverse, and we generally like it in reverse.
Yeah. And, Mr. J. Arley, how did he get in the paranormal?
Well, let me have him tell you that.
Over my lifetime, I've actually seen and heard strange things all the time. And, you know, as a child, you just kind of tell yourself, you know, it's your imagination. But here recently, I've always searched for a team somebody that I can actually, you know, who experiences the same thing I do, and I wanted to have some kind of proof, some kind of evidence that, you know, it's not in my mind. I'm actually, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing is actually real. So I joined the team mainly for answers. But, yeah, I guess what started it, like I said, I've actually just been interested in it ever since a young child. I've seen and heard things, and I really wouldn't call it like a psychic ability or nothing like that. It's just sometimes I seem to sense it, I guess, a little bit more than others. And like I said, I joined the team mainly just for answers, you know, and proof.
Yeah,
so you're,
exactly.
You're sensitive. You're sensitive. So you're sensitive.
Well, I like I said, it's more or less, you know, like I don't know how you explain it. I don't have the ability, you know, to see things clearly, you know, and be able to walk into a place and say, oh yes, you know, I'm able to talk to the spirits and all that. It's just, you know, I just get sometimes these feelings. I can like maybe sense when there's a spirit around or something like that. I just kind of, you know, almost like an electrical shock. Sometimes, you know, your hair will stand up on end. And you can just tell when there's a spirit in the room.
So no Long Island medium type stuff.
No, not like that.
No, that lady freaks me out, man. That lady freaks me out.
No, it's just what I say. It's just more or less. I like I said, I don't call really a psychic or, you know, ability. Like, I just think I'm just a little bit more sensitive, and I just seem to kind of feel when there's something there.
I think it's more of they just kind of let you know they're there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I was getting into paranormal. I was one of these that I had to see it to believe it. And watching some of these shows on TV, I'm like, really? I got to experience this myself, you know? What's all the hustle and bustle about? So I joined the team, and I experienced some things. It opened my eyes wide open, and then basically made me have more questions than I had before, and 5 years later, here I am, still doing it.
Well, that's about what happened to me. My very first investigation with the team, it was just me and Bill at the time, and we investigated his house right here. And the very first investigation I'd done that night, very first night, I was able to actually see a shadow figure with my own eyes, a mist. You know, we took a lot of photos, and we caught orbs in it and stuff. We got, I think the very first night, we had probably close to 30 EVPs. And then we had one where Bill was sitting over on his deep freeze across the room from me in his kitchen area, and I could see this, I guess you call it like a mist, just kind of where the room is getting darker in the one corner, and I saw it move closer to Bill, and then all of a sudden Bill jumps up, he knows that he jumps up, he comes over where I'm at, and we actually watched this, I guess you call it a mist, it wasn't really in no shape, but it was about 4 foot tall, not really too dark, like a light colored mist, and we could actually just see it go right across the back door right towards us. So after seeing all that, then I knew for a fact that, you know, because I saw it, and then I had Bill verify because he saw the same thing I saw. So I was like, okay, well, now I know I'm not nuts, you know. This is really happening. So after that, I was definitely hooked.
Did you catch any of this on camera?
We've actually got a shadow figure that we've actually caught on camera,
not
yes.
Not during that investigation.
No, during that investigation is when we first started the team, I did. And mainly it was just EVPs that we caught. But since then, we've had an investigation here at his house where we've actually captured a shadow figure move right in front of the camera. And one good thing that we do with the team is we're very scientific about what we do. So we try to always debunk it. And we tried debunking the shadow figure, saying that, a finger in front of the IR light, anything like that. But we slowed it down to a tenth of a second. And this thing, you can still see it move real fast across the screen. So for that to be somebody's finger in the way or something like that is virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any of this on YouTube or any kind of access that any of
Facebook.
Our listeners can... Facebook?
Yeah, it's on Facebook.
Like under your videos or whatever?
They can find it on either on Bill Householder's timeline, JR's timeline, which is JR Rutz, or Household Paranormal Group page.
I would, because I would love to see that. Do you did you just upload it straight to Facebook, or is there a YouTube channel available?
No, I just put it up. We just edited it out enough to put it on Facebook, and that's what's on there.
Right on, right on. Well, I'd love to take a look at that and check that out. It sounds pretty pretty amazing, actually.
And then he just recently, him and his wife put up their Christmas tree, and it was actually amazing. He didn't notice it at first when they took the pictures, but Allie Good from Lincolnshire Finding, she's the one that noticed. You can actually see an apparition. It looks like...
Well, now I want to say this, it appears to be
a face sitting... Looks like it's sitting in a chair that's sitting right next to the Christmas tree. And he actually has posted that also on the group page and on his timeline and stuff, too. And that was just taken with a regular digital camera.
Those are open to anybody's opinion. I'm still not so sure that it wasn't a glare from the wood and the angle of the camera, but...
Well, we did have, like I said, we had Allie Good look at it, and she's the one that goes over our video and, you know, our photo evidence and stuff, and she agrees with, you know, she says that it's definitely legit is what she believes, so.
And so did Ron Steinberg.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting. It must be buried really, really far on your timeline, because I'm looking and looking and looking, because I'm like dying to see it.
Oh, of the video? Yeah,
yes.
That was taken.
That's probably been about a month ago now.
Yeah, so it probably would be pretty far down on the timeline.
Okay. Alrighty.
Now,
You'll see me sitting in the doorway to the basement steps.
Okay, all right. All right, go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So do you guys, when you do an investigation, do you try to experiment with new theories that you guys come up with, you know, try different things that maybe nobody else has tried?
Well, I don't know about if nobody else has tried. I mean, we've tried trigger objects, and we've tried the flashlight test, and
the walkie next to the,
and we've tried using our walkies along with the audio recorder, fixing the walkies so that we can be out of the room and talk through them. I recently did an experiment with another internet radio show, Beyond the Edge, where we aired an investigation live over the air, and I had the computer set up to where the show was playing back through its speakers, and I had audio in there, and with a K2 and JR in the doorway with the camera part of the time, and we tried doing that for a little bit. Then after a while, they wanted to add the spirit box, so we did that, and we got some results from it, but there was just too much. It wound up being too much contamination, cross-contamination with all the audio going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reason I ask is because I've done several experiments that that a lot of teams they've never thought of, and I always try to share that with other teams to try, because I'm one of these people, I'm not going to set on these experiments, you know, keep them to ourselves, and, you know, if we get some great evidence, you know, kind of be stingy about it. I'd rather everybody try it and see if they get any results from it, because that's more valid when more people try things, you know.
Well, yeah, I understand that, and that makes a lot of sense to me, too, but, you know, what kind of makes that hard is the fact that there's so many teams out there just screwing things up, and makes it hard to trust anybody.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of teams out there that, they either get into the paranormal for the wrong reasons, or they're in it for the drama, and they spend most of their time worrying about people on other teams instead of concentrating on themselves. And you know, it kind of gives us a black eye in the paranormal a lot of times with a lot of these teams that are out there that do that. You know, do you guys do client cases as well as you know, going to historical places and whatnot?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, we do. Matter of fact, some of the evidence I have posted on my pages is from a two-night lockdown we did for a client that had two locations they wanted investigated.
Now, have you ever come across or had a client call you and they had already contacted a paranormal team, and for one reason or another, the paranormal team didn't help them out, or they came and investigated, never heard back, and the client never heard back from them, and then they call you guys basically to come in and fix the mess that this other team has caused. Have you had any of that yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, we've had that several times, and I always ask people across the United States to come on the show just to kind of compare notes, you know, of how things are going across, you know, this United States. And yeah, I've had a couple cases where the client called this team or called a team, and they went in, they did an investigation, they gathered evidence, they said yes, there's something really bad here. They left, and the client never heard back from them. And of course, because they investigated, they started up even more. So now the client's even more panicked, and then we have to go in and clean up the mess, per se.
Classy. Very classy of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would want to know what they encountered to make them not want to go back.
Oh, well. One of the cases was actually a full-blown demonic case. And, you know, and the reason I say that is because we had to do several visits, collected a lot of data, brought in several people, you know, in the field to help us out. It wasn't one of those things where we go in there and go, oh, yeah, you have a demon, that kind of thing. It was one of those, you know, with those kind of cases, you got to do a lot of collecting to really know for sure that it's that kind of thing. You don't want to misdiagnose the case, but it was something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those cases.
People say up this way that they think every haunting is a demon.
Well, you know, I always try to tell people, don't start using that word when you're dealing with a client. Number one, you're going to cause more stress and fear on the family.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and you know, and what paranormal teams don't understand, they throw that word around loosely, and the more they do it, next thing you know, they're going to be right in the middle of a demonic case, and those aren't fun. They're very difficult to handle. I know when every time we've gotten involved in a case, because we've had several down here, for some reason down here in Texas, people like to get drunk and pull out the Ouija board and start playing around with something they don't have any idea what to do, and they open the door.
Why don't they just put a loaded gun in their hand and pull the trigger?
Yeah. They'll open the door, and they don't understand that every, you know, even us as investigators, we use a ghost box, K2 meter, any of that. In a sense, we're opening a door. But we also are very aware that we got to, you know, close down things properly. There's a way to close down a ghost box. Because those open portals to the other side, that's how you're communicating. And these folks, like the one with the demonic case, they said, well, we played with a Ouija board, but nothing happened. And I said, well, nothing happened, but you opened that door. Did you know how to shut it down? No. I said, there's a door open. That's why you got all hell broke loose in your house. You know, and so people don't understand that. They just – they see things on television and they're like, let's talk to spirits, you know?
Yeah, looks like fun. Let's get
I got a question for you on part of what you said.
Sure.
Okay, you're talking about opening doorways using the spirit box.
Okay.
The theory I've always followed with the spirit box is that the spirit is simply able to manipulate the frequencies in order to communicate.
Right. Well, with... with a spirit box, it's just like anything else, because you might be talking to a spirit that's not in your area, but at the same time, when you open that kind of door of communication, because I have a buddy of mine that's co-host on my other show, and he did a ghost box experiment for 2 years straight. Every day he turned on the ghost box in his house for 10 to 20 minutes and did a ghost box session. And when he first started doing it, he didn't close down properly. He started having activity in his house. Because the more you communicate to the other side, they're like, well, he seems pretty cool. Let's go hang out with him, you know, that kind of thing. So even when
I've already got those.
Yeah. So
I had those when I moved in here.
Right. Well, I didn't have anything in my house. I've had a couple tag-alongs that have come home with me, and they don't bother me. They don't do anything. Just anybody that's got any kind of ability where they can see spirits. I have several psychics that I work with on my team, and they can see them. They'll be like, hey, there's a little boy in your hallway. I'm like, damn, he's still here, you know? And it's not actually
I thought I'd send him packing.
Well, I've tried blasting him out, but he hasn't relinquished going. But he died when he was like 43 years old, and he just appears as a little boy. And somehow or another, I broke his attachment to the home he was in, and he was a practical joker, and so he hangs out with me. Sometimes I can't find my damn car keys. I don't know if that's because I'm getting old and senile or he's moving them. Who knows? But I wish he would pay rent or vacuum or do the dishes or something.
I have a friend out in Hollywood who's one of the top dominatrix. Get it out.
Oh, man.
No, I was just going to say.
Sorry about that. I'm fighting a head cold.
That's all right. No, I have a friend. Her name's Fetish Jade, and she's the top dominatrix in Hollywood, and she has slaves that come and do that for her, that pay her to clean her house. So, Kevin, that might be something you might want to consider.
Did I just hear you right?
Yes, you did. People are into all that stuff, you know, like being dominated and stuff. She would many times she'd be like, "Oh, I've got my slaves cleaning this and cleaning that." It's really funny. So, but you know, hey, it's done. She has a vacuum slave. She has a laundry slave. She has a housework slave. It's wonderful, and you know, props to her.
Well, yeah, absolutely. If she can afford to do all that.
Oh no! Yeah, yeah.
Power to her.
Right? No. They pay her for it, so you know she's doing nicely.
Okay. they're paying her to clean, huh?
What's that?
They're paying her to work for her.
Absolutely. she's very attractive.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, I was just going to ask, being up there where you guys are, what kind of locations are up there? Where have y'all been as far as around there locally? Any cool haunted locations out there?
Yeah, there's a place out by here called, they call it Okie Pinokie. It's along the Salamone Reservoir, and there's another place, which is the 1812 Mississinewa Battlefield. And, yeah, there's, they're pretty active places on a good night. I've heard residual fire from muskets and stuff out there. We've heard voices. I actually caught a photo from each place, which are also on my page. One is of what appears to be a spirit coming up and over the top of my friend's car that we was with. And that was out at Okeepinokee. And there's another one on there with what appears to be what we think is a soldier standing in front of the car door from 1812.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah.
Now, where's the most haunted location you've been so far? What kind of activity was there?
Honestly, my house.
Wow.
This is where we've experienced the most activity out of any place we've been in.
So is your house an older house?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just going to ask, is your house an older house?
As far as the court records go, it dates back to 1829. Anything prior to that was lost in a fire. So I have no idea exactly how far back it dates. I do know that the land itself dates way, way back, if I read it right, back to 8,000 B.C.
Wow. So what kind of activity happens there? You said you were about to tell me.
Well, this is where the thing with the blanket happened. I've had that happen here. I've seen shadow figures standing by my bed a couple times. This is where JR's got his pant leg tugged on. Craig has also had his hand held here by what we think might be the little girl. That's where we've caught the shadow figures on film. That first night JR was talking about that he did the first investigation over here, we caught over 35 EVPs that night alone.
And some of them was even not even in English language. It sounded like it could have been Indian language.
You guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, I was hoping I didn't lose you.
No, you didn't lose me. I was just listening.
Now, just recently, Craig and I were down in the basement over here as we were breaking in a new part-time guy that we brought on, and he was down there with JR's camera, and he's in one of the back rooms in the basement filming me in the doorway. And I just happened to turn my head to the left, and there was a figure standing right there 2 foot from me, looking me right in the face. I about crapped in my drawers.
I bet. So, does the activity happen daily or just sporadically or what?
You know what? It's kind of both. I mean, there's times where I'll hear stuff in the kitchen all the time, like every night for a week or two, and then it'll quit for a few days. And it's like people getting into the cupboards or something when nobody's in there. You know how you hear that cupboard door slam?
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's not a real big slam. It's just like a little pop, but I can tell it's the cupboard door.
Right.
And, but when we investigate, if we get a good night on investigations, man, we've experienced a lot of stuff in this house.
Mm-hmm. Have you?
We had a psychic lady call into a show we did, probably about 8-9 months now ago, and started telling us about the outside of the house. So we sat and we listened to her, and about 2 weeks later, we decided we was going to go do my back lot.
Which we've never investigated.
Which we had never done outside the house prior to that. So we go out there with the intentions of not saying anything about what she had told us. And I wound up catching an image with my wife's digital camera standing by a tree with what appears to be, to me, two small dogs at his feet. And we caught an EVP of the old man saying his name, which is what the psychic told us it was, which was Jasper.
Which kind of clarified, having that on EVP clarified what she said to us 2 weeks prior, which there was no way of her, without actually being a psychic, there was no way of her knowing that. There was no way of us, you know, being able to manipulate the voice recorder to actually come with a separate voice saying the name Jasper. So that was just very good clarification of what she told us was true.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good evidence, you know, to back up her psychic ability. Because like I said, we try to take a scientific approach to everything we do. You know, we use EMF detectors.
You know, see, I'm the kind that seeing is believing. And when she told me this stuff, I just almost took it with a grain of salt. But what caught my attention was when we caught the EVP saying the exact same name she had told us 2 weeks prior.
And we didn't know nothing about it. We've never mentioned the name. There's actually no documentation of that name on record because we've actually done a background check on the whole house. We've done research on the property and everything as far as we can do. We went through documents, death records, you know, court records, everything that we could find. And the name that she gave us, the name we got on that EVP, shows up in no records. So that was some really good evidence.
So, I mean, that could even date back prior to whatever we could find.
Mm-hmm. Have you during your investigations there, have you found out why they're there? Any of the spirits?
Actually, no. I'm having as crazy as this sounds, it seems that we're having a problem with Jasper himself. I do know I have four total here. That I do know from various EVPs, but he doesn't seem to be letting them participate or communicate or interact with us when we do investigations. He seems to be controlling them in some way. We've gotten EVPs from the girl and the young lady saying, help us, help me, restrained, make him stop, stuff like that. So we're just,
right,
you know, we're just trying to connect the dots there, you know.
Right. Yeah, because they might be the one spirit might be trying to keep the others from crossing over. That might be why they're asking for help. They don't want to be there anymore. They want to go, but somehow or another, he's got some kind of hold on them.
Well, we was kind of wondering if maybe he's not holding them to use their energy.
Yeah.
Almost like a battle going on that we just can't see, but it's going on all the time. Because, like I said, we're always getting EVPs, and then we would do an investigation. We actually done an investigation with the Wabash Web TV, and what was strange is a week prior to that, we had a lot of activity. But as soon as we have a lot of people in the house or anybody that almost as though they hear us, because like I said, you know, we can have that radio broadcast, the live radio broadcast we had, we didn't catch very much. But yet we stopped that broadcast and we continued this investigation after that broadcast was over, the activity picked up. Same with Web TV. We didn't get much during the short time they were here. We didn't get much during that time. But as soon as they left, and we continued the investigation, you know, a little bit longer after that, we started getting activity. So we're not sure if maybe something is holding them from communicating when there's people here. We're not sure what it is.
I got a little funny to go with that web TV one. What's the show's rating, by the way? Hello?
We're waiting on the rating.
Oh. I mean, is it rated R? Is it rated X? Is it rated PG?
We'll just say NC-17.
Okay. Well, while Wabash Web TV was here, the young lady that was down there, her name was Ashley, and we were using the spirit box. And the one thing that we did get that was clear while they were there was something came over that box, called her name, and then called her a bitch.
Well, the real question is, was she a bitch? Was the spirit right?
Yeah, she seemed a little full of herself.
Yeah,
usually
they are spot on with that stuff.
It was kind of as though, I don't think, you know, of course they don't do that on a regular basis. It was just what they call like a Halloween special is what they done it for.
Right.
So it's not something they were actually really involved in. And it kind of seemed like they, you know, I can't say they didn't really, you know, like doing it, but I don't think they had the mindset like we do when we done it. In other words, I don't think they're all into it that night. I don't really think that they, maybe they didn't believe there was anything here. Maybe they were, you know, thought they were wasting their time. I'm not sure what you would call it. But to be honest with you, I think that the spirits knew it.
Huh.
And in my experience, you know, I was first brought into the paranormal, you know, scene or whatever field, if you want to call it that, by Jody. And I was just brought out as a cameraman. And, you know, she really got me interested in, you know, spirits and all that. I had some experiences whenever I was a young boy, but, you know, it wasn't until Jody came along where I really started getting into it. And it's really been interesting. You know, whenever you do go on investigations with hot girls, you do tend to get more reactions in my experience. But, you know, in my experience, I've only hunted with hot girls, so.
And just to give you a background on that, Jody Parks is my co-host. Of course, she's not here tonight, so Brad stepped in. Jody has a all-girl paranormal team. And Brad has done he's their camera guy, and he does a lot of their filming.
Well,
so
I did their camera work in the past. Phil Summers is their current camera guy, but I fill in sometimes. So, you know, and love you, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a question, though. We talking about those experiments that we talked about earlier, we tried an experiment the same night that we had the part-time investigator. It was his first, you know, investigation with the team itself. We actually tried an experiment. One of our team members, I don't know if it's, I guess you say maybe he's more sensitive. The spirits seem to communicate with him easier. But every time that he's here during an investigation, activity seems to pick up around him.
Yeah, he's talking about Craig Eller.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I call it is a ghost magnet. I believe that certain people the ghosts are more attracted to certain people than they are others. But what we tried was, me and the part-time member went down the basement first, and very little activity happened with Tristan. But as soon as Bill and Craig went down in the basement, the activity just rose completely. That's when, you know, Bill saw the figure standing next to him. And, you know, they had a light cord that was coming off of one of the lights that started swinging by itself, you know, and everything else. It just seems like whenever Craig is around, the activity picks up. So I'm not sure, is that something you guys have ever experienced, one of your team members?
Mm-hmm. I know for me, when I'm investigating, if I have some of my team members that are sensitive or mediums, when they're around, it seems like we collect more EVPs and more activity happens. But on the same sense, of course, I'm getting a little bit more sensitive the more I do this. So it seems like
I'm not the only one that notices that then, right?
Right.
Yeah, 'cause I've noticed that with myself too. I just kind of keep that to myself. But yeah, I've noticed that I'm more sensitive to them now that I've been getting into this more and been doing it as long as I have.
Right.
And how long did you say you've been paranormal investigating again? How many years?
I'm going on 4 years.
Going on 4 years? Cool.
Yeah.
Well, see, like I was saying with Craig, though, he doesn't really seem to have, like, you know, he doesn't have the sense when they're around. Now, here recently, you know, like I said, when we've had a lot more investigations under his belt and stuff, he does seem to also, the sensitivity, he can kind of, I guess you could say, he seems to sense when there's a spirit in the room and stuff like that, and that's when, of course, we'll capture an EVP. There's a few times where he'll sit there and he'll say, I think there's someone in here, and then we'll actually capture an EVP rapper. He says that, you know, validating that there was someone in the room with him. That's happened on a previous investigation. But even since he even first started with us, you know, I'm not sure if it was just because maybe he is more sensitive or maybe, you know, like I said, the spirits seem to be more attracted to him than the others. I'm not sure. I was just curious, has it ever happened with somebody who not really, you know, like I said, has a psychic ability or anything, but it just seems like some people seem to be more magnetized. You know, I'm not sure maybe the spirits can pick up on their senses or what it is, but it just seems like certain people have, you know, more interaction than others.
Right. Yeah, I've asked a lot of people that question, and a lot of people have had the same kind of thing happen to them. So it's something that does happen.
Absolutely.
Now I'm going to be next.
Well, I wanted to ask you, y'all were talking about Ouija boards. So have y'all ever had a real crazy Ouija board experience?
Since I've been investigating, no.
Period. No? So you don't typically use Ouija boards?
I don't believe in them.
Well, I used to think
they're dangerous.
They are dangerous, and I used to think they were, you know, I think it was a crock of shit, but... You know, whenever I was younger, when I was about 13, my younger cousin and I had gotten a Ouija board out. You know, my granny, God rest her soul, you know, said, don't mess with that, don't mess with that. But, you know, I was just having fun with it, if you want to call it fun, and ended up stirring up a whole lot of activity. My little 7-year-old cousin and I had our pinky nails on the oracle, and that thing moved around and moved around, moved around, moved around, and the oracle itself actually began to levitate. So anybody that says that, you know, Ouija boards don't open a portal or just aren't real, I firmly don't believe that.
I've told all my guys, you use a Ouija board, you can pack your stuff and find another team.
Well, yeah, it truly does open up a door. I mean, they have Ouija boards, they have angel boards, which I personally believe they're one and the same.
Well, see, I've also seen, you know, I noticed there's some teams that will use, I guess, you know, they have this where you place, like, candles around. They have this idea where you can put, like, a glass on a table, candles in a circle, you know, all those kind of things. But I think they all actually open up doors no matter what they use. I mean, I'm not saying, I know Ouija boards definitely open up doorways, but to be honest, I think there's a lot of different things that people do that seems to open up doorways too.
Yeah, and well, here's the thing that I have found out through my experiences helping clients, because I've done so many cases and talked to a lot of people in this field, and the difference between a Ouija board and, say, a K2 meter, you're putting your energy into that Ouija board. You have to keep your hand connected to that planchette on that board. So when that door is open, your energy is connected to the board, and that's when attachments can happen because they can latch onto your energy. So it's a little bit different situation, you know, and Gary Powell. And I know people that use them. I know people that use different things out there. My thing is, as long as they know what they're doing and they know how to shut it down properly and they're using it, their intent is right. You know, they're not trying to conjure something up. Well, their intent is to try to figure things out a little bit more. That's fine with me. I may not participate, but I'm not going to – I mean, who am I to tell somebody, you're a shamble to the paranormal field because you do that, you know? Because we all do different things, and there's no rule book in the paranormal. And
there's got to be a sense of morality enter into it at some point or another.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
if you want to say that there's a sense of morality into it, then wouldn't the moral obligation be to let the spirits rest and try not to disturb them?
Sometimes, you know, there could be like an unsolved murder or something like that, and the reason the spirits are communicating with us is because they're already at unrest. You know, they're not at rest as they are.
That's true.
A lot of us paranormal groups are actually there to try to help the spirits, not just help the living, but at the same time to try to help the spirits cross over too.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because there are teams out there that won't help a spirit cross over, right? And I'm not going to say that there are, but I'm sure there are out there. There's probably locations that charge paranormal teams to come investigate. You know, that's their source of income. And there's probably spirits there that want crossed over. But I've been to some places where I've paid, and they have rules there, like no Ouija boards, which I understand that, but they'll have in bold black letters, no crossing over the spirits. Well, to me, that's kind of...
the spirits themselves, though.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of selfish in a way. You're charging to let paranormal teams in here, but there's some spirits there that don't want to be there. They want to go to the other side where they're supposed to be.
That's a wonderful point, in my opinion.
Do what?
Wouldn't it be the same thing as slavery, actually? You're actually enslaving the spirits to be there against their will. I mean, if a spirit decides to cross over, then, you know, that's what we believe, you know. We should allow them to cross over when they're ready.
I'm actually in the process of trying to get somebody in my house to help me do just that.
Yeah. Yeah, It's one thing to try to help a client, you know, yeah, we got to talk to the spirit world. We got to find out what the hell their reason is for being there. And ultimately, get them to go where they need to go because, you know, they're terrorizing the client. And, some spirits, they're attached to the, you know, it's so crazy the way our field is, because every spirit that you come across has a different story, and it's a different situation. You know, I've had spirits that are attached to people. I've had spirits attached to a house, a land. You know, it's just unbelievable what you can find.
That lady I was talking about earlier that had the two locations that she wanted us to do, in the house they live in, she's been experiencing things kind of being moved around, and they've been hearing pacing in one of the rooms and stuff like that. So when we went in to do that investigation, we ultimately found out there almost toward the end that through a spirit box, which I'm just assuming that it was the right one because she seemed to recognize the voice as being her uncle, and that's exactly what it said, was her uncle twice.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of ease their mind, so in a sense we helped the client out because we were able to ease her mind, but she still decided that she didn't. Her belief was, you know, she had the religious side of that situation, so with her religion, they didn't really want to believe that when a spirit, you know, when a person dies, they actually are bound here. They believe they go either straight to heaven or hell. So we actually, you know, had her get in contact with a local church and helped her through that and all that. And to this day, we're still in contact with her. So we try to help the client and the spirit both. You know, it works both ways. Every case is different.
I think it was her uncle just wanting to hang around and to continue to be part of the family.
Mhm. Yeah, I just recently I got a case the day before Thanksgiving and still working on it. But these folks moved into this house. They're renting it, and they basically inherited a shitstorm. The land is so tainted with crazy history. There's been child sacrifice, animal sacrifice. There's bodies buried on the land. There's all kinds of things going on. There's multiple spirits there. At some point, some rituals were done, so there's a portal open. So I basically had to tell the family, you know, for their own good, they're going to have to move because it's so bad there that it's going to take a bunch of my friends in the field to try to figure out how to clear this land. It's all attached to the land, and it's going to be a long, drawn-out battle trying to get it, you know, back to normal over there, so...
They might be fighting a losing battle if it's the land itself.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. We're going to try for the owner's sake because, you know, he does rent the place out, and whoever moves in this place is going to go through the same stuff. But I don't know at this point.
It is hard telling just how far back that land dates and what all might have transpired in the past on that land.
Well, yeah, it's 6 miles outside of a town here in Texas that was the very first town in Texas, the very first settlement. So that tells you how old the land is with the Indians and everything else and being outside the first settlement here in the state of Texas. So, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, because I know I have a couple times. Have you ever caught in... EVPs in a foreign language?
Yeah, in Spanish. When I was investigating a old ghost town on the border of Texas and Mexico, I definitely did.
Now, see, we think we might have caught one that's Native American here.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't figure out what they're saying.
We've tried contacting somebody that might be able to, you know, translate it, but it's really hard to get a hold of the right people to contact to find out who can translate it for us.
Right. Oh, definitely. Brian, are you over there typing?
I'm sorry?
Are you over there typing?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not looking at porn or anything.
I think he just told on himself.
Maybe. Yeah. All this paranormal talk just gets me horny.
Oh my God. Okay.
He's crazy.
You know I'm gonna have to think of a good one to get you back on with that, right?
Please. I'm ready.
But we haven't talked about the equipment we used yet. So, but as far as all the equipment we use, we have a melmeter that we use, which also measures ambient temperature, and we have our K2 meter. We have Sony audio recorders. We have a gauze meter, motion sensors, and 3 trap cameras that we use, and a Bell Howe night vision IR camera that we use.
and JR's Handycam that we use.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have asked me, why are you using the trap cameras? Well, when I started out, that was all I had. So what I would do is I would put them on video mode, and I would strap one to my chest. So it was always videotaping while I was walking. And believe it or not, they've served me quite well over the years using them. I've been using them the full 4 years now.
Sweet.
Now, I know
what
a lot of people, means of protection and stuff like that, with us, we usually say a little prayer before an investigation and then after we're done with it. But there's people that says that, you know, you can sprinkle salt over your equipment. It's supposed to help from anything following you home, you know, because, of course, your equipment itself can, you know, that can, you know, hold energy, can hang on to your equipment, and then those spirits themselves could get attached to those, that equipment, and follow you home. Is that something you guys ever, you know, came across, something like that?
I haven't had anything attached to my equipment per se, but every now and then I'll sage all the equipment and whatnot in the equipment boxes. But yeah, I mean there's possibilities for any of that to happen. You know, I know. excuse me. I know an investigator from another team that their team went and investigated with us, and they brought one of them plastic bouncy ball things you can get at Walmart, and they took it there because there was a little girl supposedly there, so they took that ball to see if she would move it around, you know? And
right, yeah, we've tried that with a ball.
Well, here's where she made a mistake. She said, this ball is yours. You know, we're giving you this ball. But then when they cleaned up, you know, picked up all the equipment and whatnot, she grabbed the ball and took it home with her. Well, when she told that spirit that ball was hers and then took the ball, she took the spirit, too, because the spirit was in her house.
Man.
She offered the ball as a gift to the spirit. And once you offer a gift, you don't take that gift back with you.
Yeah, exactly.
We should give it as a gift. So.
Not even went as far as when I've been out at 1812 using tobacco as a trigger object, because back then tobacco was like money. It was their currency.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I never really got any results off of it, but when we go out there, I still try it. I'll take a cigarette and I'll empty the tobacco out onto a post top and say, there you go, this is for you. And
but we leave it there.
Right.
You know, once you offer something as a gift, of course you don't want to take that back with you, because then, of course, the spirit, they're going to be attached to that. You offered them a gift.
Oh, yeah. One thing that I know that works for us, we have a lot of Native Americans down here. If you come across Native Americans, one thing that you can do as an offering to them, right, to kind of keep them on your side, per se, being in the spirit world, is you burn some sweet grass.
I ain't never heard of that.
Yeah.
What exactly is sweetgrass, Kevin?
Sweetgrass, you can get it online or different. If there's a store that sells metaphysical stuff like sage and whatnot, sweetgrass is a Native American weed, grass per se, that when you burn it, it actually does smell really sweet with the smoke. And we actually went out to it's a ATV off-road park, and it's actually on some Native American land, and they've had some paranormal activity out there, and I took my mediums out there. We did an investigation, and in fact, there's several Native Americans out there, and we communicated with them, and through our medium, he could talk to them, you know, and see them, whatnot. But the Indian chief said, hey, you know, we were like, can we offer a peace offering, you know, to kind of help out the situation? And he said, yeah, I want some sweet grass. There's no sweet grass around here. So we got some sweet grass and burned it, and it helped the activity calm down.
Now, is that something they would use, like, in their rituals or something like that?
Yeah.
When Indians would use?
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that the Indians use. And for some reason or another, they like it. I don't know what – I'll have to look up the history on it, of what they actually used it for, if it was for medicine purpose, you know, whatever it might be, or for spiritual. But they definitely like sweetgrass. It's got a good energy to it, and it smells good, too.
Huh. Well, I don't know about you,
Kevin.
Well, I don't know about you, Kevin, but when I was out in Cali, I definitely had some sweet grass.
Oh, I bet you did.
Oh, man, hell, here we go.
You guys say that every time I say something. What's the problem, man? Where's your sense of humor? Come on, man. I was, you know.
Trust me, I'm laughing.
No, I've had no sweet grass before doing this show, so. Yeah, I investigated Linda Vista, and it was pretty scary.
That's one of the places on my bucket list.
Actually, I believe it is closed to the public to investigate, if I'm not mistaken. Film music videos and stuff now, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on that one. But you might want to check it out. But it was a very interesting experience. You know, like I said, I was with, you know, at the time the team was, you know, we had a group of girls. They weren't the same girls that, you know, Jody has today, but you know, it was quite interesting, and you know, we had some people messing with us and whatnot, but we had some interesting EVPs, and Jody just did some crazy, crazy stuff. She went into a room, and you know, Jody's a provoker. If you know anything about Jody, you know that's how she won the Zach Baggins Paranormal Challenge, was by provoking, and she got some of the most clear EVPs, you know, of the you know, competition. So that's why she won, but. You know, she went in there and she pretty much was like, you know, come on, you know, motherfucker, and took off her crosses. And, you know, Jody's the type of person that she told me when I first had a phone conversation with her, she said, Brad, you know, this was when she was asking me, you know, to be her camera guy. It's 3 years ago. And she said, you know, Brad, I want to come face to face with a demon, and I want to tell it to, you know, basically kiss my ass. And I, you know, at first I was just kind of like, whoa, you know, but, you know, like you guys were saying, everyone has their own individual, I guess you want to call it, style of hunting. And her style is provoking. And a lot of times she doesn't even have to provoke, you know, she just, you know, she'll wear something skimpy or, you know, not that every investigation the woman does, she wears, you know, titty huggers and a short skirt. But, you know, she's very intelligent, and she does get results. And like I said, I wouldn't be doing this show right now if it wasn't for her. You know, I wouldn't be whatever I am in the paranormal field. You know, I never claimed to be, you know, a professional investigator. But I will say that I went to, what was it, Octagon Hall of Kentucky with the Night Stalkers, and you know, I did get some activity because I do things differently. I wear glitter all over my face, and my hair and beard's blue, and you know, I don't know. I just, you know, ghosts responded, or spirits respond to different things, and you know, I found with, you know, our team, you know, that's worked best for us.
Well, with us, we kind of go the opposite way on that. As far as the provoking, we generally don't like to unless we run into a situation where we feel it's absolutely necessary.
True.
Yeah.
Which is very rare. But for us, we found that we get more results not only through EVPs and responses on the box, but through K2 hits and millimeter responses and seeing these things with our eyes just by being kind to them.
Yeah. Well, since Jody's not here to speak for herself.
I'm her husband. I can speak for her.
Well, with her, though, I don't provoke either, but the thing about her, the background with her is she doesn't do client cases. You know, she's helped out some people, but she doesn't do that when she helps them out. The only time she does that, she goes to a lot of haunted locations, and usually they're notorious for having male spirits there that are very aggressive. And her theories and ideas are, you know, a lot of these men, especially back in 1800s, early 1900s, whatever it might be, they're not used to a strong woman coming in and calling them out. And, you know, especially when they're hurting people, touching them, scratching people, that kind of thing. So Jody goes in there and, you know, she tells the people of the location. It's normally a place where a lot of paranormal teams go, but she gives them a heads up that she's going to go do that. But she goes in there, and, you know, if you're a male that lived in the 1800s and here's this woman standing up to you and calling you out, you're going to get some reactions. And so that's what she does, you know. But like I've said
she's got a bigger set of balls than I do, guys, because, I mean, there's a danger element involved there, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's very aware of the danger involved in it, you know. I as her friend for over 2 years, I told her, you know, but at the same time I told her, I got your back. I said, just be careful when you're out there, you know. So
Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting her down in any way. If that's her thing, that's her thing. It just doesn't work for us. I mean, I look at it like this. When my team's out on investigation, I not only have to worry about my safety, but I'm responsible for theirs as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I think with the location, like you said, of course, depending on the location itself, you know, if you come across a spirit that was violent in life, of course, you know, in death, they're probably even going to be, you know, 10 times more violent. And in some situations, you know, that might be the best result would be to provoke and, you know, to stand up to that entity. But, you know, I guess it just depends on the location you're in, like you were saying.
Well, that, and it all depends on everybody. We're all individuals, and we all have our own styles.
Exactly.
I know numerous teams out there that do stuff way different from what I do. I just know what formula works for us. And I think it has to do with the spirits. When you get good results, it's because they know that you're comfortable in what you're doing. If you're doing something that it feels right to you and your team, the spirits sense that, and then they communicate. You know, if you're trying to go outside the box and try to do something you're not normally wanting to do, they're not going to communicate with you, you know? It all depends on your energy, you know, and your personalities involved.
I mean, exactly. Like, you know, every team is different and every team has their own way of, you know, of course, whatever works best for the team and the person, the individual themselves. You know, like I said, everybody's different. There's actually no right or wrong way to do it. We're all still learning. That's why we're still doing this. Because, you know, my opinion, there's no, you know, it doesn't come with a textbook. Paranormal doesn't come with a textbook. We're still learning new things and new ideas every day during every investigation. So, you know, I guess it's just more or less it depends on the team and the individual who's doing it.
So having said that about all the provoking and stuff, what are your feelings on Ghost Adventures and Zach Baggins, and how do you feel about his provoking, and how do you think that makes the field look? I personally feel like, no, go ahead. I'd like to know what you guys think of the show and his methods.
Well, that pretty much falls into what we're just talking about. I mean, that's his style. That's what's gotten him where he's at. So, you know, more power to him.
Now, I know on some of their investigations, they've actually even mentioned that it was even dangerous. And, you know, they were told that, you know, by priests and stuff. But
yeah,
we all know
that their marriages were torn apart from doing Mackies.
But, you know, like I said, it's mainly the individual himself. It's the way they choose to do, you know, more or less, you know what you're getting into. When you get into this, you know, first of all, you have to have an open mind. And second, you know, like I said, it depends on what method seems to work best for you. And, of course, for Zach and his team, provoking is the best method they come across, you know. But every team is different, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I actually bought and read his book, and he talks about it in his book. Those guys, when they first got into it, they were, you know, balls to the wall. And if you watch older episodes, you know, they go beyond provoking. And if you watch the more recent shows, they've been humbled by it because of Mackey's and some of the other places, Fervelia over there in Italy. You know, Zach's had his place exercised 3 times, his house.
There's some locations where they bit off a little more than they can chew.
Now when you watch the show, they don't go that far. Sometimes they do, and when they do, you see Aaron and Nick go, oh, damn, really? No. Here we go.
Like I said, the longer you do this, the more you learn. We're all learning, you know, as we go along. There's really, like, no textbook to how to do this. And if you notice, I've always tuned into them. You know, I love those guys. But if you notice, they've got a lot of investigations underneath their belt and stuff now, and they're trying different experiments, they're trying different techniques, and they seem to use a little bit more precaution when they're doing investigations than what they used to, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a learning experience, more or less.
Yeah, see, when we do ours, we go in, it's just a straightforward investigation. We just, we keep a kind heart and a good attitude and just get what we can get.
But I'm sure one day we'll probably come across a situation like they have. You know, fortunately, we haven't really came across a situation where we have where we believe that there's, you know, anything evil there, anything like that. But, you know, of course, when that time comes and we come across an investigation like that, you know, then, of course, we're going to have to deal with it. Like I said, every investigation is different. So when we come across something like that, it's hard telling how we're going to have to be able to handle that, you know. For us, of course, is just, you know, being honest and giving them respect, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for me, I've been to the bowels of hell. In some of these places, and I've been thrown from a room. I've seen somebody possessed. I burned their forehead with the Holy Bible and watched their skin burn from it. I've seen some really crazy shit in my time, and really and truly, I hope if you haven't experienced any of that you don't, because it'll scare the living hell out of you. And,
so far, the worst thing we've experienced here is a roll of tape being tossed off of a cabinet and me having that figure standing right beside me.
But like I said, you know, I'm sure someday, sooner or later, because like I said, I'm in this for the long run, and I know Bill is, and I believe the rest of the team members are, too. I can't speak for them.
You know what?
I think I just fit them, too. But honestly, though, I mean, sooner or later, I'm sure we're going to come across something like that. So.
Yeah, no, back on that note, I got to backtrack on that there. I did have an experience a while back. It was shortly after I started out at the 1812 battlefield I was telling you about, where I lost all control of my emotions. And it was strange. I couldn't control my anger. I was yelling at everybody and everything, and I had stuff coming out of my mouth word-wise, man. I don't even think it's in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Once we left the location, I was fine. I was drained as hell, but I was fine.
Yeah. And, you know, the way I look at it, if a team does come across something that is just way, you know, they've never experienced it before or they don't know how to handle it, the smart thing to do with that team is to contact some of their buddies in the field and get some insight on how to handle the situation. And because like we talked about earlier, you know, this hobby is a dangerous hobby. It's not just fun and games all the time.
Well, it's more than just a hobby for me.
Right.
Well, I'm working on this in one capacity or another every single day.
Yeah. Well, you know, if people refer to it as a hobby, to me it's a second life. I have my job and my personal life, and then I have this. So it takes up a lot of time, you know, but and we don't get paid for it, you know, but some teams out there charge, which I think is totally BS.
It's wrong.
Well,
I agree with you. It's just totally wrong.
That's what I call, you got teams that are dedicated and devoted at what they do, and they're trying to do it, you know, they're trying to actually, I guess, not just, you know, out there trying to find some evidence, but they're actually trying to help people and, you know, and let people know that there's more than just this reality that we see. There, you know, there's something else after death. You know, after we pass on, there's something else there. And you got these other teams that what I call is they just like to go out and have a good time. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but then you also got teams that are devoted to this and, you know, really are just trying to help people and help spirits. And because we're all going to cross over one day, and we're going to have to answer to what we do in this life. So I think that for a lot of us, you know, we're devoted because we want to know what's out there and we want to know what we got to look forward to when we cross.
I'm not going to cross over. I'm going to stay here and give all y'all the greatest EVPs you ever heard.
I believe Miss Jody Parks is calling in. That's our my other host.
She's, oh, thank God.
She's on vacation, but she's going to call in, so she's on hold. And bring her on. Jody.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Who's on tonight?
Household Paranormal.
Bill Householder with Household Paranormal. I got J.R. Rutz here, my partner, with me.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
You know, I'm kind of drunk right now. I'm not going to lie.
Amazing.
I've been slamming some purple Hooters, and those are crazy.
And you've been drinking.
I have clothes on, though. That's the important thing.
Damn it.
I know, right? Fuck, I didn't earlier. I was laying out topless out in the sun. And then these bitches invaded all my privacy, and they saw my tits, and they said, you know what? Don't put that top back on. And I said, fuck, I won't, bitches.
Yeah, Jody, your breasts have been quite the controversy lately. We were talking about that.
Wow, you know, these para-whores, they fucking love my boobs, okay?
I love your boobs, Jody.
I love my boobs, too. I mean, I fuck myself all the time, you know?
God.
What was the rating again on this?
Wow!
Did I just stir the pot?
Yeah, these guys are nice. They're a little conservative, Jody. They're a little conservative.
Oh, I kind of called it a bad time.
Just a little bit.
No, you're cool. We're having a ball listening.
Oh my God! Are you guys having fun?
Oh yeah, always.
Have a nice time.
Okay, I heard something about EVPs when I first called in before you guys put me on, something about awesome EVPs.
Oh, JR was making a comment about spirits crossing over, and I said, I'm not going to cross over. I'm going to stay here and give everybody the most amazing EVPs.
Right? Yeah. Like, I, you know what? If I ever, like, get cancer or anything like that, I already told the lady that runs the place that I call my stomping ground. I already told her, I said, you know what, if I come down with cancer or anything like that and I just need to, like, blow my head off, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to come over to the Mineral Springs, I'm going to go down this slaughterhouse, I'm going to blow my fucking brains out, and then I'm going to haunt fucking people like crazy. And I'll even spray paint the wall, like, before I do it and leave some shit, and, you know, like, go
we're
out
of
style.
Bill, once Cross is over, you know, once he passes, he's actually going to stick around so that way he can actually be a host for us.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, and have a one-on-one conversation, you know.
Yeah. And then if you could, like, lure some more spirits, you know, to have, like, so you can have conversations so they can pick up two people. Those are awesome. I love those kind of EVPs when you actually
get I'm a drunk pimp. Mm-hmm.
I got you, Jody. Yeah. Dr. Phil stepped in.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
And I want you to start having a gay relationship.
Well, I think my first gay experience, God, how old was I?
Okay.
I want you to start living as a gay woman.
I think, okay, I was like 19, and I was fucked up with my best friend, and she raped me, okay?
That's hot.
That's a load of crap.
No, it's not. It's the honest God truth.
Hey guys.
Let me just be honest with you. Nobody really cares. Fair enough.
Hey, if I can interject for a moment, I have a question from a listener who is too shy to call in. They want to know, guys, and Jody or Kevin, anybody, if you've ever been hurt on a paranormal investigation.
No, only touched. Never hurt.
I have never been injured, but I've had people badly injured around me when I was at the Sally House. Johnny Hauser actually got scratches all over his body, as well as I was sitting right with him, and he had a huge chunk of his leg hair removed, like just burnt, and you could smell like the singe from the burning. And also when I was at Farrar School, Phil Summers he was laying right next to me sleeping, and I was like on my iPhone, or I was on my phone on Facebook or something like that, and he woke up in a lot of pain, and he had a huge scratch down his neck and then a huge scrape across his chest. So I've witnessed people, yes, get hurt.
Now, Jody, now pardon me if I may, but didn't you about a month and a half ago when we went to the poorhouse, you were scratched?
Yeah, but I don't really consider that like an injury, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, and the weird thing about that was Brad and I were at this poor farm, and we were down in this room, and we both looked on the wall, and there was like an M spray painted on the wall. And then when I got home and I was like taking a bath, you know, just washing the filth away, I looked down on my leg and there was a scratch of an M on my leg. So that was pretty weird. But I wouldn't really consider that an injury. You know, an injury is more when, you know, you're hurt a little bit more, I guess. I don't know.
True,
my
true.
Have you? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say real quick, I just want to give a shout-out to Karen Van, Billy Van, and Brittany Marie Van. They're all listening right now, so thanks for listening.
Hey. Yeah, thank you. Kevin, have you ever been hurt?
No. I got thrown from a room. I landed in the hallway floor, but I wasn't hurt. I was more beside myself than anything. If I would have had to take a crap, I would have done it then, but, you know, no, I've never been hurt. I've seen a lot of people around me get scratched and pushed and, you know, energy drained. One of my team members got so scared that they went into a panic attack outside the location.
Yeah, I've had my energy drained at Farrar School. But I would say the one time that I actually felt like where I actually felt fear was at Linda Vista, and Brad was with me. He was filming, and I had gotten up, and I was going to go back to, like, our base camp because I forgot a lighter to burn some stuff, and I was going to go head back by myself. But I stood up, and I started walking, and I felt like I just walked into a really bad energy, and I stopped, and I asked one of the girls to come with me, and when she did, she got attacked when she got up and started following me. But I that is the only time I've ever felt like pure evil was surrounding me. And not that it was demonic, like it could have been a spirit that was really bad person in life. Like it was just bad energy. That's the only time I've ever felt that.
Nice. And if I may, I want to give a shout-out to Megan Elizabeth Campbell of the Paranormal Hotspot. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Love her. She's my sidekick.
I can't wait to meet you, Megan.
Yeah, you guys are going to fucking love each other. Oh, my God. We're going to get so retarded. It's going to be great.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So, where are you guys based out of?
We're out of Wabash, Indiana.
Oh, nice. That's right up from us, or me in St. Louis. Brad and I just drove through Indiana.
Yeah, it's north of Indianapolis, they were saying.
A lot of fields, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of the Hanna House?
I'm sorry?
The Hanna House?
Is that out of Indianapolis?
I think so, yeah.
There's actually been a few locations we've heard at down in Indianapolis. I know Ghost Adventures actually had a location that they done down there in Indianapolis, and I believe the Dead Files was also down there, plus the Dead Files has actually been up here close to Wabash, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just recently got a message about the Hanna House, and I might be working with them on a special project to help them because I think they're having a hard time. There's a lot of locations out there, guys, that are having a hard time, you know, and it sucks.
Yeah, speaking of, and I'm not going to name this location because I'm just not that kind of person.
Oh, let's just go ahead and name it. I'm going to be a psychic here. We are talking about some hospital. Okay?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. We'll go moving on. I won't name the name of it, but what about it?
I got several of my colleagues in the field. They put down deposits to investigate there. And the caretakers, the family that was actually living there, took all the money out of the account, which was over $20,000, took down the DVR system, and disappeared. They left.
Okay, let me just tell you about this location because I know exactly who you're talking about. And I was actually going to have an event there, and I had a previous talent agent call them up, and I was going to pay to have an event, a weekend event there, and they would not allow me into the place because I wore high heels and because I provoked.
Right.
And it's like they're turning down business, but yet they just went out of business. How about that?
Well, that's karma. Yeah, it's not the owner. The owner's actually contacted all the people that have put money to investigate next year, and he's going to hold up their deposit and everything, and let them investigate. Because
could you do me a favor and get me the? Could you get me the number for the owner? Because I would actually really like to call him.
Yeah, I'll find it out for you.
Okay.
But like I said, the caretakers, the ones that you had to deal with, they're no longer there. They've stole $20,000 from the owner and all the paranormal teams and disappeared.
That
so
is so
I think.
Awesome.
Ouch.
So,
that had to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, people are sketchy. People are very sketchy.
I say a lot of the problem that we have over here where we're at is it's a lot of still a lot of old school mentality.
Yeah.
And people are just afraid to deal with it. They don't want people knowing what's going on.
Right.
Plus, we've had to recently, we actually take documentation with us so we can sign saying that we're fully responsible for any damages or anything like that. Because there's
right.
a lot of damage going on from these.
Yeah, we've had to resort to
yeah.
doing contracts with our clients and offering liability paperwork and references, the whole nine yards.
Because they've had previous investigators that would come in, they've done a lot of damage, and there's some locations around here that they won't even allow investigators to go to because of what's happened with previous investigators.
Wow, that's awful. Like, I don't think I've ever vandalized any place. I've never stolen from any place. If anything, I'm there to help them and give them my money. And also promote them and you know, try and get more people to be aware of the place, if anything. I mean, these places are historical. Most of them are historical sites, and they need people like us. But there's just so many people in the field that are just sketchy. They're not in it for the right reasons, and they're also very immature. So I can
well,
see
well, around here, it's not even – it's not only a matter of some of the historical sites we're having problems getting into, but it also affects the business and residential. There's a lot of places here in Wabash. I mean, the buildings date back to 1800s, all over
wow.
the place.
Really?
And this used to be Indian land at one time.
Nice.
So we know there's more activity than what's being let known.
Yeah. You know, and there's
well,
a lot of places
down.
That... they just won't let us in, you know, because we have a bad name, or they don't want the place to be known in the public as being haunted because they think it won't, you know, people won't want to come into it. And they're right. I know a lot of people that when I tell them I'm a ghost hunter, they're like, oh, I could never do that. I could, you know, they're just frightened to death of it. I was just having a conversation with somebody today, and they were like, I don't know how you do it. And it's like...
I've had the same thing happen. I've had people tell me I got more guts than they do.
Yeah. Or I've had people tell me I'm evil. You know, you're evil because of what you do. And it's like, no, I'm not evil. I'm not...
We're just trying to get the truth.
Exactly.
Believe
they
believe
don't understand
me.
That. You know, it just doesn't register to the normal average person.
There's just because I do what I do don't mean I'm not human, because there's been times I've had the shit scared out of me.
Yep.
A lot of people just, you know, the problem is a lot of people have a closed mind about it, and you actually have to have an open mind. Once you open
yeah.
your mind up, I mean, there's so many different kind of realms and possibilities that we couldn't even imagine. All you got to do is just open your mind up to it, and a lot of people just... I think they're scared to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people are really scared. Like, I just did a, do you guys know who George Norrie is with Coast to Coast?
No, I can't say that I do.
Okay, well, he's been on radio for, like, 25-plus years. He's, like, one of the biggest guys on radio. And he's my mentor, and he's based out of St. Louis. He actually just recently gave me a case. Of this, you know, gal who's having problems. So, you know, I went over, I investigated with her, and I put together a little video for her of all the evidence that I collected. And I sent it to her, and about a day went by, and I sent her a message, and I said, hey, did you watch the video yet? And she goes, no, I can't watch it until somebody watches it with me, so I'm waiting for my friend to come over and watch it with me. And she literally is, like, living in fear, you know, and it's
right.
like, it doesn't matter how, you know, it doesn't matter that I came over and I told her, hey, like, this stuff is okay, like, you know, this stuff is happening, and when it happens, just say, can I help you? And the weird thing is that I think I brought her ghost home with me, because some of the stuff that was going on in her place, About a week after I was home, I was sitting in my bathroom, and I had athlete's feet, and I'm going to tell you something really disgusting. I urinated in a bowl, okay, and I had my feet soaking in the urine because that's how you get rid of athlete's feet.
It's true. It's true. She's telling you the truth that that shit works.
It does, man. It'll be gone quick, right? So I'm like, I've got my toes are hurting so bad, man. I'm like, oh, my God. And so I'm just sitting there, you know, like 10 minutes go by, and my robe, all of a sudden, like the arm, or no, the part where you tie around your waist,
the belt,
just starts
swinging.
It starts swinging back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I was like, oh, shit, something is in the fucking bathroom with me. And one of the things that happened to this girl was when she was going to the bathroom, her shirt started swinging in the bathroom that was hanging up on a hook. And so here I am. I'm sitting with urine in a bowl on my feet. And my robe starts swinging. I'm like, oh, fuck. Did I bring that fucker home with me? And she, and also the dog was being attacked. Her dog. And since I went there and I told, you know, I told the spirit, I'm like, hey, listen, if you don't stop being an asswipe, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get rid of you and I'm going to get rid of you for good. So stop bothering this dog and blah, 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 you know. And I left and, you know, a week went by and I said, how's the dog doing? And she goes, the dog is so happy it hasn't had one problem. So I really think that, like, it came with me.
But don't you do anything to prevent that or try to prevent that?
You know, my house is already haunted, and I've lived there for like 15 years, and I've cleansed it so many times that it doesn't work. So I just, you know, I look at it like this. If a spirit wants to hang out with me and be my buddy, I'm cool with that, as long as it's not hurting my kids, it's not scaring my kids, or it's not causing harm to me. I don't mind if it, like, lets me know, hey, I'm here, you know, and it's like, okay, cool, you know. I don't,
well, see,
I don't
that's
mind.
That's where I differ. I got enough here. I don't want to bring no more company home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think all of us kind of, we kind of take something with us, you know, from here and there. Not always, but I think we pick up stuff, and maybe we don't even know it. But
well,
I do
all
cleanse.
I can say to
I
that
do
is if I have, I'm not aware of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like a major cleansing, like every once in a while around my house and stuff like that. Just to, but it just, it's, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to stop and go away. So it's like, I only do it when I feel like shit's hitting the fan at my house. And there have been those times. Which is the reason why I got into ghost hunting, you know?
Jody, I don't know about everybody else, but I'm dying to hear a burp from you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Do they even know about my burp?
No, I don't know if they do or not, but Jody is the Guinness Book World Record holder of the loudest female burp. She's about to show you why.
All right, let me get some water. I'm at the bar. Hey, baby, is there any way I can get, like, a little water?
Look at her. She's such a diva.
Whoa. She just fucking squirted me down with the hose. Shit, I wanted some water. I didn't want it up in my face. It's all good. A little water never killed nobody. You're fine. I don't mind getting sprayed in the face.
Yeah, I bet you don't.
We're having a wedding t-shirt contest here. Yeah, I got a sweater on. No, I just want water so I can give them a good burp. Okay. I got to have water to lube up the throat, man.
That sounds hot, baby.
You don't want to do carbonation because carbonation foams up in your stomach and that makes it very airy. No good. No good. Okay? I already know the tricks of the trade for burping.
I'm still thinking of the spray in the face.
Wow.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, she had another one.
Huh?
Oh,
one more?
Is that another? Can you do one more, baby?
Yeah, I kind of have the case on my phone, so you might not hear it as loud. Hold on.
All right. Amazing.
God.
Yes, baby, yes.
Guys, I've got issues, okay?
We all got issues, or we wouldn't be doing what we do.
That's right.
Thank you, Jody.
That's funny.
Hey, Jody, I'm going to...
You get it going, and it goes.
All right, a trifecta.
All right, guys, listen up. I'm going to go back in. I'm going to drink some more. Then I'm going to head back to where I'm staying. I'm going to get in the fucking hot tub.
And send me pics.
And I'm going to drink some more.
And send me pictures.
I'm on vacation, and I'm going to go party.
Topless.
So, I'm sorry I couldn't be here for your entire interview, but it was great to meet you guys.
You too.
And you guys take care and, you know, do your part in the paranormal field and help these locations out, because that's what we need to do.
Yeah, we'll just keep on keeping on.
That's right.
Thank you, Ms. Parks.
All right, I love you guys.
Love you too.
All right.
Bye, Kevin.
Bye, Jody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That's crazy, Jody. Oh, she's enjoying herself. She's on vacation, so power to her.
Yeah, she's got that right.
Speaking of Ghost Box, I'm going to share with you guys something that Jody got. It's been about 2 years now, a year and a half, 2 years, down in Georgia at Rose Hall, and she just used a Hack Shack, you know, Radio Shack radio, and she was doing a public event, and she was in a location at this event, and a bunch of people came in the room where she was, and so she turned on the Ghost Box. And it started in, and she asked a question, and this is the result.
Do the other men here bother you?
And we will skin you alive.
Oh!
And that's why she's interesting to hunt with.
Yeah, boy, you got a sense of humor, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing just, it stops scanning, this voice comes through, and it even had an accent. And she said right after it came through the box, the radio was completely broke.
Huh.
So, well, we're down to the last... minute and a half of the show, guys. So, any websites, anything you want to share?
No, we don't have any regular websites. Everything that anybody wants to find out about us is on Facebook. They're more than welcome to send friend requests and view our pages, join our Facebook group. We have T-shirts that we're selling to try to raise money so that I can take some classes to become ordained. And they're $17.50 a pop. We got two styles. One has got an actual photograph of a spirit on it, and the other one's our team logo. And if they want, anybody wants to order one, they can contact me through Facebook.
Sweet. Well, thanks so much, guys, for coming on.
Hey, no
yep.
problem.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, you guys definitely got a sense of humor going on. Good show. It was funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us on the show.
I'll be talking to you guys again in January. Y'all are coming on my Sunday show.
Yep, that's right. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I got Jeff and Martin are my co-hosts, so we'll have a good time. So, but you guys have a great night, and thanks again for coming on.
Hey, good night, everybody. Happy hauntings.
Happy night. Hauntings. I like that.
Well, good show. Thanks so much, Brad, for stepping in tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I didn't get to sing Megan a proper happy birthday, so here we go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy. Well, we're going to hit the high note. Birthday, dear Megan. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Megan.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin, for asking me to guest host. And you guys can find me at Mail Crystal Ball everywhere. MaleCrystalBall, all one word, baby. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud. Mwah.
All right, well, we're going to get out of here until next Tuesday, which I still got to book a guest, but I'm going to jump on that here when I get off. But we'll see everybody again next Tuesday. Good night, everybody.
Thank you to everybody who listened.